Well, hello, White Sox fans, and welcome to the Future Sox Podcast, part of the Just Baseball Media Network. My name is Ian Eskridge. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. James Fox. Tonight, we're going to be getting into some Rule 5 stuff, some GM meetings, and some trade rumors and free agent talk. How are you, James?
I'm good, man. How's it going? You see this from baseball? He said, sup, guts. I think he meant guys, but that's cool. I'll take sup, guts. It's super interesting. Yeah. Carrie, I'll answer that, but not yet.
All right. So I'm just going to say congrats on the win. And for those of you that don't know, Mr. James Fox is involved in some football playoffs, and they won this week. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so Lockport, we hosted our first quarterfinal since 2003 when I was in high school. We played Barrington and won 35-0. So now we're going to the semifinals. We play at Oswego next weekend. I've never played or coached there. Yeah.
Not Noah Schultz's Oswego. He's Oswego East.
Correct. Yeah.
I actually
interviewed for a teaching job or like a administrative job there once, and it was like really far from New Lenox where I live. It's kind of a pain. I've never played or coached there, so that'll be fun. I like going to new places. So
yeah, I've been there, played baseball there, and I think football too, actually, like way back in the day. You know how that goes. So we got some congratulations in the chat. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate that. So GM meetings were this week. First off, the quote that it pretty much catches everybody right in the feels. Chris Getz says, free agency is an avenue to bring in players to help in the win total, but to go beyond this upcoming season, I think would be a little premature considering the state of our club right now and the development of these young players. So your thoughts when it comes to that quote?
I mean, I kind of think that they're like obviously not going to spend as much as like any of us want them to, but I do think there will be additions. I mean, he like said all of those things. And then it was also rumored that like they were in talks with like Ryan O'Hearn, which I think is like a totally reasonable free agent signing for like the position that they're in, right? So, yes, like they're not in the Kyle Schwarber sweeps. It was weird. He kind of contradicted himself a little bit. Like, it was like reported somewhere that it was only going to be 1 year deals, and then he said that they do multi-year deals. I don't know if that would be, you know, for some like an Eric Fetty type of deal where it's, you know, like something like that, right? It's like pitcher gets a 2 year deal, or because like I can't see Ryan O'Hearn taking a 1 year deal. That's why I think the whole thing's kind of strange. I mean, obviously it's all about development, right? Like, I think there's like five dudes that are like pretty significant that are knocking on the doorstep, whether they start at Birmingham or Charlotte, like the, you know, the two lefties and Tanner and then Antonacci and Braden Montgomery all could be up at some point, right? Like, yeah, it's about those guys, but I think they'll add a first baseman and a setup guy and probably a starter, right? And it won't be as much as we want, but it'll be something probably.
Yeah. So he mentioned that Jonathan Cannon and Sean Burke will be fighting for a rotation spot, which, you know, he said, if he says it like that, that means that you can assume that they're not going to just be given the reins to those rotational spots, which is a good thing, but it also kind of opens the door for, you know, the positions that he said that they were looking at were corner infield, corner outfield, and starting pitching. So, and I would assume that they would probably also throw bullpen help in there as well, which wasn't, you know, as far as I saw, wasn't mentioned, you know, particularly. But your thoughts on those two guys specifically?
For on O'Hearn?
No, for Cannon and Burke.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, I took that as, like, they're going to come to spring training as starters, but, like, I don't know that either of them's in the rotation, honestly, like, if they're not, like, good enough. I think you let the new pitching coach get his hands on a guy like Sean Burke and see if it's like more consistent velocity. I don't know really what you do with Jonathan Cannon at this point, right? Like, I think if either guy were traded, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Beef was right, right? When he was on with us, I think there's two like locks for the rotation. It's Davis Martin and Shane Smith. And then Grant Taylor will be on the team and Mike Vassell will be on the team. And who else did he say? Probably Jordan Leisure. I think those five guys are definitely in the pitching staff, but I think the rest of the spots are kind of wide open. Right. So, I do think free agent pitcher of the Martin Perez level ish, right? And then if they got another youngish guy via trade, you know, if there's a pitcher coming back in the Robert trade, I do think, like you mentioned, corner outfield, which I think is what they mentioned, which is interesting with Mike Tauchman and Benintendi technically here. I mean, if they traded Robert, they'd need to get a center fielder probably too. So, yeah, I think it's first base. It's like lefty first base specifically is what it sounds like. Outfield and pitching.
Yeah, because he had also mentioned that they wanted to get a left-handed bat. So, I mean, I would assume that that would probably be, you know, one of the positions that they're talking about.
Yeah, it seems
about.
Like, what, Ryan O'Hearn, Josh Bell, Carey. It seems like Josh Naylor's a no, even though, like, I feel like a lot of Sox fans feel like that's the signing that would be interesting or make sense. Look, I think if Ryan O'Hearn's a two-year deal, I don't know that that's not the best course anyway. We can get into some of the issues like the bat speed's not great, but I mean he's got like a 130 WRC plus against, you know, both handed, you know, so it's kind of interesting. Like I didn't see that.
Oh,
so Naylor
just resigned. Okay, so thank you. There we go. So I guess he will not be signing with the White Sox, which
interesting for so me it's is a 5-year deal okay. To stay in Seattle. Yeah, that's probably okay for him. Somebody give me the money when you have it, because I don't have Twitter open. Thank you.
Yeah, I gotta say, when I heard what Seattle said about him after the season, after the World Series was over, I was actually thinking that they were gonna let him walk. So I don't know if that was like some posturing or whatever, just in saying, oh, well, we wish him well and whatever, because here he is, you know, like we're, what, a week into... a week into the season here, into the offseason, and he's already resigned. So
yeah, I saw that. So there's a passing tweet that says he's like re-upping around a 5-year deal, but there's no money yet. So that, I think that'll be interesting to see how much money it is. Like, I mean, I'm guessing it's like 5 and 100-ish, right? Like, or I don't know. So yeah, that's well, it won't be Josh Naylor. I know Ian's heart's broken. So
yeah, I'm so sad about that.
Yeah.
Nah. Anyway, corner outfield bats. Benintendi gets said, our hope is that he's going to be able to play the outfield, but it would be silly for us to not focus on those areas based on recent history. Basically saying we're expecting him to get hurt, and we've also seen him play the outfield.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Tauchman thing's interesting because he's not going to be that expensive. It's like $3.5 million. Like, we've kind of talked about this. Like, if they could dump Benintendi on somebody somehow, like, I'd be totally fine with Tauchman and left. You can't have Benintendi and have Tauchman playing right. I know he probably wants to stay. He's from Palatine. My guess is Mike Tauchman's not on the team, but I also hope that they don't, like, I hope they don't non-tender him, because you could have traded him at the deadline and you didn't, because you're like, oh, we don't have to yet because there's a tender decision, right? I feel like you trade him to somebody and then they can make the tender decision. That's not due yet. Like, the only thing that has to happen, I think the only thing that has to happen by Tuesday is the Rule 5 protection. The like tender, non-tender ARB guys, like that's not for a while still.
Yeah, I thought that was like
December,
December, yeah.
Or something. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we might not know on that for a little bit. But it is telling that, like, technically, right? Technically, your outfield's Benintendi, Robert, and Tauchman. And they're still talking about adding, which I guess makes it a little interesting.
Yeah. You put those two guys in the corner of your outfield and your average speed in the outfield. It's good that Robert can play basically from the actual position of left field to the actual positioning of right field with his range and his speed, because if you got those two guys out there, balls in the gap are not getting caught by either of those two guys. So, yeah.
No, I know. But then when he's hurt and you have to like play a backup in center field, then it turns into like a huge problem, right? Like,
yeah,
baseball, Andrew Painter will get protected. Like that, he'll be, yeah. Tuesday is interesting though, because I'll like scour the list and see if there's any interesting guys. There is, Eric Loggenhagen at Fangraphs has something up on their site right now. It like basically goes through every team in the NL and AL about like interesting guys that could get left off.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is like kind of pointless, right? You could just wait till Tuesday to see for sure. But it just kind of tells you the teams that like have crunches. It's always the Yankees. It's always Cleveland. They have like too many players to put on their 40 man. Like having too many good players isn't a issue the White Sox have yet.
No, not yet. It's coming, you know. I know that you listen to Inside the Clubhouse all the time, and Braden Montgomery was on this week, and you know, he said his favorite position is a major league outfield position.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care. And you know, a lot of people are sitting up and taking notice after seeing his Arizona Fall League numbers. Which we pretty much knew, and we also know that the Fall League is a hitter's league.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So this is it. So I brought it up earlier. So Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith, you know, Tanner McDougal, and then Sam Antonacci and Braden Montgomery. I feel like those are the guys that we could see, right? We didn't really talk about this, but my thought, like, I wonder if they just, like, put all those guys in Charlotte, and then it's like, go perform and you're up like ASAP, basically. Or if they'll split it and have someone. Because, like, there's no reason why they can't call a guy up from Birmingham. They've done it. But I wonder if they just, like, load the Charlotte roster with prospects and filter guys up. And that'll be one of the things I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah. Here's my one worry about that scenario is that it's harder to hit in Double-A for the White Sox prospects.
It is.
So I feel like moving hitters to Charlotte, I don't really see a much of a point in it, to be honest. I mean, like even for pitchers, you know, I mean, we see their whips and their ERAs just jump when they go to AAA. Not to mention with the ABS system, everybody's walks go up. So we put Hagen in AAA.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like the weird thing is that you would think with the ABS system that you would have less walks, but as soon as they introduced it, both the hitters' walks went up, and so did all the pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can you imagine like Sam Antonacci in Charlotte?
Yeah, I mean, between the walks and the hit by pitches, yeah. he'll be on. He'll have like a 600 on base.
Well, and he'd have like some wall scrapers too. I feel like it's like, hey,
oh, yeah, 100%.
He's got like 12 homers somehow. You know,
I want to say he had like three in the AFL.
Yeah.
And that was only like, what, 22 games or something like that? 23 games?
So the thing with him is, like, and power is always going to be like a question, obviously. If he can hit like 12 to 15 homers, he's like really super good. I just don't know that that's feasible. You know what I mean? Like, if it's more my drawthy.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like he's got a little bit more power than Mydroth does.
I think so too.
You know, this is an interesting debate here.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
McNasty asks if Antonacci is better than Mydroth, and I mean, we'd be judging apples to oranges, sort of.
Like Mydroth's
at this
done
point
in the big leagues and in AAA.
Right.
I've been saying he's lefty Mydroth because it. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, their game's really, really similar. Both of them are the quote-unquote dirtbag guy that, you know, eats and sleeps baseball and does all the little things right and does whatever the team needs.
Yeah.
I would say, though, that from what I've personally seen so far, I feel like Antonacci is just a tick above Mydroth.
Yeah,
so far.
I think that's fair. So Adrian asked if we think he'll be up, like Antonacci will be up quicker than Mydroth was this year. I don't think so.
That's tough.
Like, because I also don't know like where he's gonna play. So me and Beef kind of went back and forth on Twitter about this, and I kind of agree. Like, somebody asked if Antonacci could be at third with Mydroth at second, and I just don't know that you can have both as regular, like, will they both be on the team at some point? Yeah, probably, right? But it's just a huge lack of power from your infield. You know, unless you're getting 30 from Colson Montgomery and you're getting 20 at catcher, right? And then, like, you just get them from other spots, I guess. But it's just, it's like 12 homers and 1,200 at-bats in theory-ish. You know, it's just, I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah, I'm going to answer this here. So Doug asks, will the Knights be over 500? Here's the thing. The Knights had the most home runs in the International League by far this year, and they were still not over 500. The problem comes in is with pitching. And when you play at that park, if your pitching's not immaculate and everybody's not, you know, really, really locked in, it's going to be tough to be one of those championship teams in the International League with that as your home park. Just my thoughts.
And you use lots of bullpen arms. And if you use lots of bullpen arms, like, a few of them are, like, going to get hit every night. So,
yep.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, which we'll get into the 40-man here. But, you know, when you see a guy like Iriarte out there and just walking all sorts of guys and then just gives up one bomb here, it's tough. Southside Jeff says, re-signing Clevinger should help out with that. Woof.
Yeah. Not interested.
Yeah, we're waiting for that shoe to drop, but I'm personally hoping not. So as you mentioned earlier, Chris Getz did say that they would be open to multi-year contracts if it made sense. So do you think, are we looking at, obviously, you know, we'll get to Ryan O'Hearn in a second here, because there's been a ton of rumors about him so far. Do you think that pitching comes into that? I know that Martin Perez dropped it, you know, didn't accept his, you know, mutual option. Does somebody like that, do they sign somebody like that back for 2 years? Because, I mean, he's pretty old and right, he missed a couple of months. So
I guess like, I don't know. I guess my thought would be like Fetty-ish, right? Who's the dude coming over? Cody Ponce?
Yes.
Like that I could see, right? Like how much money is that going to be? Similar to Fetty? Like if that's 2 years and $17 million or something like that, right? I could see something like that for sure. And even like Ryan O'Hearn, like I don't think there's any reason for Ryan O'Hearn to take a 1 year deal. So if you actually sign him, and look, like nobody really needs first baseman. So like if that's their target, my guess is that happens. Like in free agency, I'm saying. Like guys, they just play random dudes at first now. So if he's like a top target, like I would imagine that probably happens at some point. I'd be curious to see the money on that.
Yeah, I think it's also, you know, you've also got the option of putting O'Hearn in left field if you want to, you know, right, which is a nice option to have with him. And then, you know, he gets to, you know, catch up with his buddy Fuller and name's escaping me off the top of my head here. The hitting coach.
Yeah. Derek Showman. Yeah.
Yes.
Derek Showman with an O.
Yeah, I was thinking of the other guy from the Orioles.
The new minor league hitting coordinator.
At least they're, you know, for spring training and
Sherman,
whatever, they get
Sherman
him back.
Johnson.
Sherm. Yeah.
I believe. Yeah, no, that's, I didn't really realize O'Hearn was like as good as he's been. It's not as many homers as I thought, but
yeah.
I mean, like it was like a 135 WRC plus against lefties, I think, and a 125 against righties. Like that'll do. Like that.
Yeah, I think it was like 135 and 128 or something like
that.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And he gets on base. It's exactly what they like want, right? It's like a guy that works counts and gets on base. I don't know. I think that one makes sense. I think I've seen from fans, right? Like Mike Yastrzemski. Potentially like as like an outfield option that, you know, whatever, that's probably the level of guy. Like, I mean, they're going to hand this thing over to Braden Montgomery. The thing about Braden Montgomery, we kind of talked about this in our group chat a little bit. Like, is he like going to come up and play center for a little bit? Like, I guess I never really considered that, but it seems like that they might do that.
Yeah, that's where he's playing. That's where he played mostly in the AFL. I mean, he did play some right field as well, but you know, he can play center field. You know, we had this talk on our group chat. You know, he can play center field. But the thing that you should not expect is Luis Robert's defense. You know,
right.
His lateral side to side, you know, going to the gaps. He's just, you know, going to the gap and back towards the wall. He's not as fast. Coming in, he's fast. But, you know, chasing down that ball in the gap, that's not going to be you're going to be missing that Luis Robert part of it with him in center field. That's why I feel he's better
in the corner.
He's probably
he's a right fielder. Yeah, which is fine. He can be a right fielder. I think it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of make me do the eye roll. I don't know. The guy, like, what's he hitting, like 225 with the Giants, something like that?
Yeah.
Like, I just, it's one of those things that if it's a bridge guy until Montgomery gets here, sure. Maybe he, you know, gets lucky and gets into some, but I just don't feel like that's like really I don't feel it's like a solution. At this point, if the White Sox are going to sign somebody, it's like a stopgap guy. You know, like you got Derek Hill if you want a stopgap guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we're not really worried so much about wins at this point still. You know, right. More about development. So
right, exactly.
Just my thoughts.
So a couple of things here from the chat. So baseball tossed, how concerned are you with his hit tool? Lots of people worried. Is that about Braden Montgomery?
Baseball? I would assume. Yeah. We've talked about that a lot.
I'm really not. I mean, I think he's power over hit. But I think it's okay, you know. I think that's fine. I'm not really that concerned about his hit tool. He was a lot better, like in the I think there were some concerns like in Winston-Salem, but then once he got to Birmingham, he kind of really took off. And then the AFL. I mean, I kind of feel like Braden Montgomery is fast tracked at this point, right? I think Braden Montgomery is like what they were hoping they would do with Colson. Braden will come to spring training and there will be all these articles written about how he can win a job. Right. And then he'll get sent down and then he'll be up in like a month.
Yeah.
And that'll be,
yeah. Like, they're not going to eat that year of control. There's no way.
Yeah. They can't do that. Adrian also said, apparently the White Sox were at the Japan exhibition that Kazuma Okamoto was playing. And I saw that too. So he's like a third baseman, that should get some pretty decent money in free agency. The thing I don't know is, like, were there other prospects in the game, right? Because, so the White Sox hired scouts in Asia recently. Like, they could just be, like, finally a presence, right? Like, it might not be for Okamoto if there's, like, other guys who could come over in, like, the years that follow. I just don't know. I don't know what kind of game it was. The only thing I know is that dude played in it.
Well, with the way things have been for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, I'm just, and this is going to sound silly, but I'm just happy that the White Sox have a seat at the table.
Yes.
You know, the fact that they're even there looking,
yeah,
is a step up.
Well, so, and apparently this guy's like could stay at third, whereas the other guy, the guy that Dylan's scared to death of, and a lot of other people are too, with the huge strike.
Yeah.
With like the huge K rates and he doesn't hit anybody over 92 or whatever. That guy sounds like he's first base only.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at him, he looks like he's a first baseman only.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be
doesn't look nimble.
That would be quite the thing, is, like, if this, like, starts to get rolling right, and they're like, oh, the White Sox are a serious contender for Kazuma Okamoto. Great. Sign good players. That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, McNasty says they unfortunately have zero anything to sell to these guys. And I don't disagree with you. I actually had this you know, this conversation with a dad of a player in the system, you know, that what do the White Sox have to sell to these guys that's not going to make them have to pay through their nose to get here, unless it's going to be a guy that's going to, you know, really be worried about, you know, playing time elsewhere, right? You know?
Yeah. You probably have to be the highest offer, and somebody would have to want Chicago and playing time, you know, and that it's basically it, you know. Do you want to do this coaches thing now?
I do, wait? Yeah. I was just going to ask you the same thing. So, cool. So TJ asked question on coaches. Do you think they plan on replacing Sizemore with a field coordinator? Because we know Grady Sizemore left and went to Minnesota.
Well, so I think they'll replace Sizemore, but I think it's going to be a first base outfield instructor, you know, like somebody to coach first and teach the outfield. So Grady had a pre-existing relationship with, you know, the new manager,
whatever his name is,
Minnesota from from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So he was Pittsburgh's old man. So Grady knows him. I'm sure it's like a guaranteed like 3-year deal or something in Minnesota. He probably didn't have that here. My guess is he had money on the money left or, you know, whatever. And they just like let him out of it or whatever. The White Sox announced, I think, that they have more coaching hires coming. I know there's a couple more on the hitting side that I'm not really like allowed to get into yet, but there will be, you know, some more hitting additions to the big league staff. And then I'm guessing a first base coach, and an outfield coach. So that's, this week, maybe, I have no idea.
Yeah. Do you think that the guy that they're going to put at first base, do you think he's going to be an outfield coach as well? Like,
probably.
Do you think that that's
I'm guessing that's
combo?
The same. I'm guessing that's the same job. I mean, that's technically what Jason Bourgeois was doing.
Yeah,
so
no,
this
it
could
was.
Be any, so this could be anybody. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like
Bourgeois.
And it sounds like they're not gonna replace the catching coordinator because they're just gonna have Walker McKibben do it.
Which makes complete sense to me. I'm interested to see what kind of differences there are, because I was kind of curious as to what he was going to do this past season. But I kind of think that maybe he was just getting himself acclimated to what he was doing here is my
being
guess.
The bench coach, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty interesting because one of the things that, if you listen to the, our Chuck video of Bove the other day, one of the things that he brought up that he was really set to work on is controlling the base pass. And that's supposed to be something that Walker McKibben is also really into, you know, and that was like supposed to be like one of his big things that he did in Milwaukee as well. So I'm interested to see like what comes of that, because the White Sox were, I think they allowed like 144 stolen bases or something, which crazy.
Wasn't that his job in Milwaukee? He was like the run prevention coordinator or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Some sort of title. Yeah. So yeah, that makes sense. They'll probably have coaches this week, I would imagine. There will definitely be news Tuesday, because that's when the Rule 5 deadline is. But yeah, probably coaches too, I'd think.
There it is. Derek Shelton.
Yeah, thank you. I forgot that. I totally forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of Colby Shelton.
But he was there before Pittsburgh, right? He was like their hitting coach.
Yeah. I think so.
And then got the job, and then now he's back. So cool.
Yep. Well, let's get to these trade rumors here. So the Luis Robert trade rumors have been making the rounds again. These two things here, I know that you and I are going to have differences of opinion on. So your thoughts on Luis Robert here coming into the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I'm like fine if they trade him, even if it's like a little bit underwhelming, especially if that allows you to spend. I just don't really trust that. I mean, why should we trust that they're going to take him into the season and he's going to stay healthy and they're going to get more at the deadline? If they get something suitable now, I think they might just do it, honestly. So my thought, like, if you made me guess, he's not on the opening day roster and they trade him for something would be my guess on him.
I don't see that happening at all. I think that you know, for the $20 million, I think that they're more likely to take the gamble that they can get something really good for him rather than trading him before the season starts and, you know, eating some money just to get like an okay prospect. Unless the deal really, really blows him away, I would be shocked if he's not here to start the season.
Yeah. I know that they've like talked to teams and like made an effort to like keep doing it, but it's like, yeah. I mean, at a certain point, you're going to have to like lower your asking price, right? Like you have to, like, you're not going to get whatever it is that they're asking for.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you insist on trading him before the season.
Yeah.
You know, if you get to the trade deadline and he's not having a good year and somebody offers you a bag of balls, you take the bag of balls.
Right.
You know, but I mean, at this point, you know, is it worth more to take the gamble for the $20 million a year and he ends up having like a
great first half that you can get more? Yeah, I could see that. I guess the thing that I don't know is, like, can they spend it all if he's on the team? I don't know what their, like, budget is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which seems ridiculous that that would matter. But, like, do you literally, like, if you trade him, can you spend that $20 million on something else? I don't really have that answer.
I mean, on what? A two-year, $10 million pitcher? Like, I mean, what's that going to do for
maybe
you?
Maybe that's the money for the Japanese third baseman.
Ooh, maybe it is.
Yeah.
You never know.
I don't know.
Let's see. Tom asks, how are the offers for Robert Jr. going to be better now than last deadline?
I don't know.
Yeah. That's basically what I'm saying is I don't expect anybody at the beginning of this year to say, oh, now we're going to give you a top 100 prospect. I just don't see that happening at this point.
Here's the one difference, though, right? Like, at the deadline, teams were treating him as a rental, so it was like a half-season rental. This year, they probably would treat him the same way, but at least it's a full season of him.
Yeah. I mean,
if things go well, it's another $20 million option, right? Like, it's two. I think it's two at 40.
Through 2027, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, technically, I mean, I guess it would take another team to be into it and think that he's actually going to stay healthy, which up until this point has been a real question, obviously, right. You know?
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, a lot of people think that he doesn't care, which I don't see that, you know, and from
I don't think that's true.
What I've seen from people on the team, they said that, you know, the guy's a great teammate and that he loves playing baseball. So, I don't think that he wants to struggle. It's just been he's just been on the struggle bus so far. So I don't know.
Yeah. And apparently he does his work and whatnot. It's just, he's just hurt a lot.
Yep. All right. So moving along to the other one that's been making the rounds here in the last week. It has been mentioned that numerous teams have been calling the White Sox speaking about Mr. Edgar Caro. And with the three catcher situation that we have here with Corey Lee, Teal, and Edgar Caro, trying to get two catchers into the lineup at the same time, we know has been, you know, somewhat of a, it can be complicated. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's been complicated thus far. And with having three catchers and having three, you know, like Corey Lee, say what you want about him. He's at least a respectable backup catcher. And if one of the, you know, Teal or Caro gets dealt, you feel pretty comfortable having Corey Lee there as a backup for that. So that's okay. But let's hear your thoughts on Edgar Caro sticking here and what they're going to do.
Well, I don't know that they'd like for sure trade him, but I think they'll trade him if they get what they want. So this is like pretty contentious, like at Future Sox, like because like a lot of us really like Edgar Caro. And I think like, look, when they picked up Kyle Teal, it was like, okay, yeah, they can play two catchers. And then we kind of realized that like they're going to have a tough time playing two catchers, and we'll get into why. I don't think they would just trade Edgar Caro. I think this would be, you know, for another similarly ranked prospect that plays the outfield, right? Where it's like, okay, this guy's going to be part of our core. Like somebody mentioned Justin Crawford. I don't really like Justin Crawford, so like I wouldn't love that, but like that sort of thing, right? Like somebody kind of brought up, and this is not happening because the Cubs don't need a catcher, right? But like Caro for somebody like Owen Casey, it's like that's like a similarly ranked guy, right? Like somebody in the 50 to 100 range in a system. I've heard the Rays interested. I've heard the Yankees interested. A White Sox beat writer also said that they had had talks with two National League teams. But
Padres have got to be one of them.
Yeah, but that there were like other players involved. It wasn't just for Caro. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think there's talks. And I know like I told you guys in the group chat the other day, like, hey, like I heard they're talking about Caro. And then it kind of became a thing, right? Like Francis Romero brought it up.
Yeah.
And then I think like Heyman or something. I forgot who. It was Jim Bowden, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I think we're going to keep hearing about this. I don't know that we'll hate it if they actually do it, because I think they value Edgar Caro and they're not going to give up 6 years of him, like, unless they get a lot in return. So, yeah, I mean, it's something to monitor. I mean, with the other stuff that we've kind of talked about, Ryan O'Hearn, outfield interest, Andrew Benintendi, like, it doesn't seem like they want to play two catchers at the same time.
Yeah, that part of the equation for me is difficult. I know that if they traded Caro, I would probably be pretty gutted for the entire day if it happened, regardless of what the return is. I'm a pretty big Caro guy. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping that he doesn't get traded. But you know, if the return is good enough, you know, I understand. I just, you know, I don't want to see any Spencer Joneses or something like that. You know, so I, you know what, as far as I'm concerned, trading with the Yankees in general, it's like dumb. I'm pretty much, yeah, I'm over it, because none of their prospects ever turn out really to be that guy, except for maybe a pitcher here and there, you know.
I'm over that idea too. I don't really like dealing.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
With them. So would you consider trading Kyle Teal instead, or would you just keep both guys for now?
I mean, I don't want to trade either of them.
I think you'd get more for Teal, but I think trading him, like, people would freak out right now.
I think more people would freak out if Teal got traded than if Caro got traded. Just because, you know, like, when I kind of feel like the Teal thing is playing on people's emotions, you know, because when you see him play, he looks more fiery, and Caro seems more stoic. And I feel like Caro, when he got bumped to AA by the Angels and skipped Advanced A, you know, we've had this conversation a ton. I felt like they did him a big disservice by doing that. And I just feel like, you know, kind of along the lines of Lenin Sosa, I feel like it's just going to take him a little bit of time to get comfortable. And then once you saw him get comfortable in AA with the Barons, he started hitting for power, which had disappeared. And the batting average and the OPS and all that stuff started going up. And I kind of feel like that's going to be the same kind of thing that you're going to see from him if he's allowed to progress. I think it's a little bit short-sighted to trade him at this point, is just my thought.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on playing one or both of them at different positions?
You know, I don't know. I've seen the whole Teal in the outfield thing, you know, numerous times. I've seen it in the baseball, mentioned it in the chat here. I'm just not sold on that. You know, I think that the value of them being at catcher with their particular skill sets, I don't know that it necessarily translates if you put Teal in left field. He doesn't have enough power to be a left fielder. You put Caro at first base. I don't think he's got enough power to be a first baseman. Both of these guys at catcher, I think, is where their value is maximized.
I totally agree. Yeah, I don't think the bat plays anywhere else other than catcher. Like, they're prospects because they hit and play catcher, right? So, yeah, so we'll see. Like, I don't think this is going away anytime soon. I mean, obviously, you know, with what we do here, we'll probably talk about Edgar Caro from this point forward. And who knows? Like, maybe there's like a winter meetings deal or something, or maybe they just keep both guys. I don't think they'll have all three guys.
Probably not. I think that at least at least one of them's gone. At least.
I
think it's going to be Corey Lee. That's just my thought, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, so even if, like, if they traded Caro, I don't know that that means Corey Lee's here for sure. Like, they could also move him and just go with, like, a veteran backup that's a defensive guy.
Entirely possible. I mean, they could also have Michael Turner there.
Right.
Like, you know? I mean, I don't see why they couldn't do that. He takes quality at bats, and he handles pitching stats.
I don't
really
know
well.
That they love the Corey Lee defense.
Yeah,
or
100%.
Game calling, like the whole operation.
Yeah, I mean, I Turner was injured for the last like month and a half of the season with like his finger was broken in like three or five places or something like that, something absurd like that. But great defensively, and he takes good at bats, but not a power hitter, you know. Yes, right. Carrie mentions Turner needs to be healthy. I agree. He should be at this point, I would think.
And he might be the catcher, and he might be the catcher at Charlotte.
Yeah, he might be. I'm kind of actually wondering because they haven't made any, you know, they've released a few guys. I put out some tweets through the Future Sox account about guys that have gotten released. Actually, Turner is Rule 5 eligible this year.
So is Hackenberg,
yeah. Yeah, well. Hackenberg, you know, the arm is good, but, you know, just the bat has never taken off, unfortunately. So I wanted to bring this up just because it's so absurd. And I've seen it. I don't know how this got legs on Twitter, but the Fernando Tatis deal that people are talking about, that the White Sox are going to eat Fernando Tatis's contract and trade away. Was it Caro? I think that they were trying to say that this is.
Well, so I think the thing is with San Diego, like they could trade Tatis because like they're trying to sell their team because their like owner, right, like operated like San Diego wasn't a small market, and then that guy died, and now they're like, oh no, it's still a small market. Like, and we have all these bloated contracts. So I do think there's going to be like a reckoning in San Diego. At some point, but I don't think Fernando Tatis ends up back with the White Sox. He would just get traded to a team that, like Boston or somebody that would be willing to pay him, I feel like.
Yeah. So if, assuming that the Padres do get sold, does Preller still have a job there?
No. You know who I think? I've always thought that this is the Theo Epstein spot, but it's like ownership in a, like ownership capacity, and he's like overseeing everything, basically.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because he's like, he was there before too, like first, like before Boston.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if you're going to live anywhere, that's like the perfect spot to live if you can afford to. You know, the weather's fantastic. You can't beat that in my eyes. Some people, like my wife, she says, I like seasons. You can have your seasons.
Yeah.
I like summer.
If it's 74 and sunny every day, like I think in the winter, that would be great.
Yeah. You know, I'll take that, please.
You know what would make the fall and the winter better? If it were 74 and sunny during those times of year.
Sleepy says, Jerry just pooped his Depends thinking about taking on that contract of Tatis.
Yeah. It's such a bad one.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, like the money's not all that terrible,
right?
I just don't know. Yeah, it is. It is a lot of years, and you wonder what he starts looking like as he ages here.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers magically aren't as spectacular as they were at one point.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know. Shocker. I don't know what the reason could be for that, but yes. And as Uncle Ted mentions here in the comments, that Preller has signed some hella bad deals. Yes, he has.
Well, so he also hired a manager on a one-year deal, similarly to the Angels, which is like, that's like not a glowing recommendation for AJ Preller when he's signing like one of his former relief pitchers to a one-year deal to be their manager. So look, like, does Preller get another job somewhere like immediately? Like, yeah, probably, you know.
At least as international.
Yeah, like he'll take his carnival act elsewhere. But no, I would not do that either, Howard. Like,
Yeah, that might be the one.
I don't think I would do that. Yeah,
the Eric Hosmer deal was brutal. And it's not like everybody didn't know as soon as they signed that contract. You're like, what are they doing?
Aren't they doing it? Yeah, they're doing it now with Bogaerts too.
Yep.
Like that's a bad one. They've had quite a few, and they're about to lose a ton too, the Padres.
Yeah. I mean, you see what the Dodgers built out there. They're not going anywhere.
No.
So the Padres are, you know, wild card or nothing. That's it.
Right. And the Rockies just got Peter Brand, baby.
Peter Brand.
Yeah.
That'll make all the difference in the world. The Rockies are going to become a superpower. You'll see.
Did we talk about that last week? We did, right?
Yeah, I think a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Jonah Hill's freakishly small hands.
Yeah, yeah. Paul D. Podesta. That's right. We did talk about it.
Yeah.
What else happened this week? I feel like there was some stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing that was mentioned by Chris Getz, and this will be the last of the major league stuff here. The Grant Taylor role was mentioned in passing this week. And what he essentially said was he's worried about Grant Taylor getting innings, not necessarily about him getting starts as far as a role goes.
Yeah. He wants like a bulk role, which, okay. Like it just seems like it's something that we say. And then it's like, he gets the eighth inning. And then it's like, oh, he threw 60 innings again. He's a reliever. I don't know. I mean, is the bullpen their way to like get him 100? Because what did he throw, 60 some this year? I mean, yeah, he probably can't start. Like if he's maxing out at like 100 innings, like yeah, I understand why they wouldn't start him. But yeah, he needs to be like a relief weapon instead of just like being the closer or something.
Yeah, I mean. To me, this whole thing just kind of really reminds me of Garrett Crochet, is that there are certain guys that are just alphas, and they have their mindset on being starters. That's their mentality. That's what they want to do. They will succeed in that position. And I feel like we're like kind of doing the Groundhog Day here thing, you know, like. Last year with Shane Smith, we made it work, you know, and I feel like, you know, we've also had this conversation where, you know, when I'm talking about the pitch counts that these guys get limited to in the minor leagues with this system, is that are we trying to assemble just a gaggle of dudes that can pitch 80 pitches and five innings and then take them out? Like, we're like, that shouldn't be the goal of the team here, to have a bunch of those guys.
Does it make you at all feel like they're doing it so like they can trade him, like as this like power relief weapon that with 5 years of control, and you just like cash him in? And what I don't know, I'm like skeptical of the whole thing. Yeah, so Sleepy said he had 63.1 innings pitched. So what can he throw? 90? 100? Like, I don't know. You know, I don't really know. But that's probably the reason they point to, right? They'll say he only threw 60-some innings. There's no way he can start.
I mean, I guess, you know, I'm just, I don't know. Like,
but on the other hand, you have two starters, so.
Yeah, I mean, we know that they're going to at least need like on a major league average, it's like you need 13 starting pitchers to make it through a year.
Right.
On major league average, knowing with the way that they have constructed their innings limits in the minor leagues, essentially you're limiting these guys in their innings every year anyway.
Right.
You know, maybe he pitches a couple of, you know, we saw this last year, you know, where like he would every once in a while pitch multiple innings. Maybe they do that a little bit more this year to get him up close to 100. Cause I want to say that they had said that once a guy gets to about 115 innings or so, then the kid's gloves come off. And then right. the next year they're supposed to be like fully let go. But, you know, the guys have to have enough success in the major leagues to be able to escalate their innings count, you know?
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just like skeptical that they can get to 100 out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Unless they're using some openers or doing some stuff like Uncle Ted, dude, you're going crazy right now. Like the one thing I'll say, like with all the free agents, like the White Sox will not be signing anybody with a qualifying offer because they'd be giving up their second round pick to do that. And it's the second pick in the round. They're not going to do that regardless.
Yeah. They're not
whether we or you or anyone thinks they should, like anyone with a qualifying offer is like an absolute no go, not happening.
Yeah, there's no way they're giving up the draft picks at this point. Did Zach Gallen, did he get a qualifying offer?
He did, yes. So he's out too.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And he honestly should probably take it, but because he had a rough year. I mean, I'm surprised Shota Imanaga's declining it.
Yeah, that was kind of a little bit weird, but maybe that's because he wants to change his area code.
Oh, interesting.
Just saying.
But maybe he's got like 3 years and 50 out there or something, and that's better than one at 22. I mean,
you knock a couple hours off your flight home.
Yeah, I mean that's true. And like if you go pitch in San Francisco or something, like where you just like don't give up homers ever, I guess that could make some sense.
Yeah, so Carrie is our resident D-backs fan. She says Zach is the nicest guy. He seems like it. He seems like a pretty awesome dude. I don't know about Shota at LA, but I would say I wouldn't be surprised. You know, one thing I've noticed about the Dodgers through like this run that they've had over like the last like 6 years or whatever, they always need starting pitching.
All the time. Their pitchers break constantly.
It's crazy.
It's because Mark Pryor is their pitching coach. No, I don't. I just made that up.
Yeah, he tries to teach everybody to pitch like him and assumes that they have calves that are the size of Volkswagen
you remember that?
Beetles.
The pristine Mark Pryor mechanics, and then he got hurt anyway because nobody has any clue why pitchers get hurt. Like, it doesn't.
Yep.
Like, nobody knows. Imagine. Like, Jeff Passan wrote, like, a 400-page book on it, and the answer was like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Uncle Ted brings up Mitch Keller, and I'll mention it, like, I won't mention it every time Uncle Ted brings it up, but I'll mention Mitch Keller pretty much whenever Uncle Ted brings him up, just because I like Mitch Keller a lot.
Yeah,
I think he's got a lot of possibility of being a really good pitcher.
Yeah,
I can see Chris brings up Dustin May.
Yeah, he's rumored in like some of the Sox machine like mock offseason things. I've seen some people put him in there.
He's intriguing, you know. His hair is absurd, but the stuff is undeniable.
Yeah.
When he's healthy, so I would not be mad.
Those
about
are the
that
types of
all.
Like high upside moves you can make. So, pull up the, from Baseball Toss about Bruce. This is a loaded question, sir. This is like not fair. It says, "Do you think Bruce Levine is trustworthy?" Well. So I don't in regards to like when he says that like baseball will resume in 27 with a salary cap and he spouts like nonsense about like player contracts and like all those contracts are going to be grandfathered in like whatever. Right. So no, like I don't trust him in regards to that, but like, I'm pretty sure he heard it from the White Sox that they've like negotiated with Ryan O'Hearn's agent. Right. So like, if he reports that like, hey, the White Sox are talking to Ryan O'Hearn, like, yeah, of course he's trustworthy. Like he's been doing this a long time and he's like a reporter on the ground. I just like, don't agree with, you know, like the overall message generally that's pro ownership constantly on the show that he hosts.
One thing, you know, coming from the GM meetings, and this is a staple of the winter meetings and the GM meetings, is the speaking in rhymes thing. The Scott Boras speaking in rhymes and
riddles.
Oh yeah,
the Scott Boras pun session. Yes.
I'm kind of a fan of it. It's just
like
so
it
stupid.
I love
it.
Yeah,
it's so dumb, but it's, you know, at least it brings some life to something that, especially with the GM meetings, brings some life to something that generally doesn't really amount to anything.
But he also knows it too. He knows exactly what he's doing. And I love how he just like conveniently ignores any player that's represented by somebody other than Scott Boras, right? He's like, well, he's the best pitcher on the market since this guy. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, those are like all your guys. Like, there were other guys. You just don't like acknowledge them. Because, like, that sort of stuff is funny. Like, I heard him doing one where it was like, it was Pete Alonso, right? Where he like fit
that
like
one
a,
was good.
He fit like a pee in everywhere, you know? Like I thought it was Andrew Dice Clay, you know, and he's just like, Peter Piper picked up, you know, I was like, okay. I'm like, where are we going with this? But it was Scott Boras. So yeah, he's a wackadoodle, but he makes his clients a lot of money and he's a very, very rich person.
Yeah, no, for sure. Signing billions of dollars every offseason from now until the end of time, because I don't think it's going to go down unless something crazy changes in the CBA negotiations next year.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you listen? So this week he's like, oh, well, the salary cap works in the other sports. It's like, yeah, I know that. But like, it's like a non-start. It's like not going to happen. So I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, it's just there's so much time wasted talking about a year from now.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, like we've had this conversation is that there's no way that the players allow a salary cap without a salary floor.
Right. It's not going to happen.
Just never. It never will. So let's move on here. We've got the Rule 5 coming up on Tuesday.
Well, just the protection deadline. But yeah.
Just right. Not the Rule 5 draft. That's December like 12th or 14th or whatever. But the Rule 5 protections. So the White Sox, you know, the big names, McDougal, Murphy, Mason Adams, Tyler Schweitzer, Duncan Davitt, Ben Peoples, the return from the Adrian Hauser trade, and then Peyton Paulette are like pretty much the big names here. Your thoughts on who they're going to throw? I think what's the 40 man's at 35 right now?
Yeah, so they could in theory add five without getting.
But they probably
anyone.
Add four because they're not going to.
Yeah, they'll leave a spot probably
for
I
somebody
would think.
To pick somebody but up in the five draft.
Yeah, but you could also make that spot later. That's like one of the misconceptions. Sure. Like you could just do that the day before. But I mean, yeah, I mean, look, I think there's one lock, like, in Tanner McDougal, and I don't know if you've like heard from anyone on any of this. Like, I haven't. I also haven't like reached out, but I think he's the lock. And then I think Shane Murphy and Mason Adams are likely. But after that, I don't really know. I mean, like, Peyton Paulette might be a lock, or he might just, like, be out of favor. Like, I don't really know. Like, the Peyton Paulette one is probably the next one for me. Like, if it's four guys, he's included. If it's three guys, maybe he's not. And then, honestly, like, Tyler Schweitzer, like, I don't know that he gets protected right now. I don't know that he would get taken yet. And then any of those other guys... You know, it just kind of seems unlikely. Aldrin Bautista is super interesting. I don't think anybody would do that. But if all of a sudden he's protected, you know, it's likely because they know somebody was going to take him.
Yeah. So my thoughts were it was going to be McDougal, Murphy, Adams, and maybe Paulette. Just because I don't know that they want to give up on Paulette's, because as a closer he's looked pretty stinking good. I mean, in Charlotte he had a little bit of a rough time, but kind of everybody has a tough time, especially relievers in AAA. So that was kind of my thought. And like, I don't know, if Tyler Schweitzer doesn't get protected, which I don't think he will, because I think that they're going to leave that spot open possibly, I think he's gone personally. I think somebody will scoop him up. I think that pretty much not every major league team could use him, but I think a lot of major league teams could use him, even if it's just as to keep him on the 26 man for this year.
He's a mop up guy or something.
Yeah, it's easy. you know, like have him in like a piggyback role for somebody. I think that's like a, that's a no brainer, super easy. If they feel that there's something that they can maximize with him that he's not doing at this particular moment, I think he's gone. Just my thought.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And then you have like a Samuel Zavala who got a lot better this year, but like nobody's going to roster that guy like yet, right? Like if somebody loves Ben Peoples, right? And all of a sudden, like, so we'll see. Like, we'll have more discussions, obviously, like after this happens. So like next week's show, I feel like we could potentially dig into some names from other teams of guys that are actually available in the Rule 5 draft, because the Sox will have the second pick and they'll very likely use it on a pitcher, it would be my guess. So yeah, I mean, we can get there, but yeah, hopefully, I don't know, maybe one of us will break some news like tomorrow about guys that are being protected. I don't really know. I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah. If I hear anything, I'll put it up. You know, we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a, you know, I mean, it's entirely possible that they don't want to give up on Schweitzer and they protect him. I don't know.
I could, yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised either. Those maybe are the five names.
Protect five, you know?
Right.
Who knows? We'll see. So just to answer Kev here, he says Mason Adams, likely didn't he have some of the best stuff in the system before his injury? Yes, he did. He is nasty. You got anything else this week, James?
I don't think so. I was trying to think if we did, I'd like some more baseball news. You know, I'd like the stove to heat up, right? That would be interesting. And yeah, I mean, we'll get White Sox news eventually. I think obviously winter meetings are soon-ish, right? It's like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Newsworthy, even if like they don't make a bunch of deals, we'll have Rule 5 and draft lottery. So, you know, this will should start moving here soon, though.
Yeah, I'm going to look this up here right quick.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I was looking. There's like a bunch of Yankee arms again for Rule 5. You know, like Shane Smith was like a, like the, you know, like a red flashing light, you know, that was like, this is the guy you should take, right? Like, I don't know if like this year there will be a guy like that, and if the Rockies would just take him if it were, but, you know, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah. So the winter meetings, December 7th, 10th. So that means the Rule 5 will be on the 10th.
It's the Wednesday. So
it's the last day, right? 7th through the 10th.
Yeah, is the 7th a Sunday? The Rule 5 is Wednesday, and the draft lottery, I believe, is Tuesday.
So the 7th through the 10th, 7th is a Sunday and the 10th is a Wednesday. So, yeah, the 10th will be the Rule 5.
Yeah, so the draft lottery is the, Tuesday the 9th.
Tuesday the 9th, we'll be on?
We will, right? Yeah.
So we'll have a Sunday and a Tuesday?
Right. Somebody asked about the draft earlier. Yeah, I think Rock Chalowski's the number one pick.
That's what they say.
There's actually, there's like a guy this time. And then Grady Emerson is the Texas high school shortstop. I hope to have a draft notebook article out this week that's just like a little bit of a preview. Just like what to expect in the lottery and some top names, and kind of reviewing last year's class a little bit. But so Grady Emerson and Rock Chalowski, I think, are better than anyone taken as draft prospects, right, are better than anybody taken the last 2 years. So there's two legit dudes at the top. After that, there's some questions, though. So they'll have the fourth pick, probably, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. That's, I'm not looking, like, that, the lottery, I've already got anxiety about it. Yeah. I'll just let you know that up.
Yeah, it's a thorn in the side. It's crazy. Like, it's just a pain. It's like, you're awful. You should be guaranteed this like awesome Rock Chalowski dude.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet yesterday, and it was talking about the I don't know. I'm pretty sure that I bookmarked it, and I'm gonna take a look here right quick. But it was talking about the NBA draft. And basically what it said was that since they instated the lottery system, like the Nets haven't had a top five pick since 2012.
Right.
Oof.
And they've been terrible.
Yeah, and like I want to say that
it doesn't stop anybody from tanking still.
Yeah.
Which was the point of it. Like,
yeah,
it
exactly.
It just basically forces you to tank for longer.
It forces you to, yeah, because you can't get, like, how are you supposed to get out of it?
Well, because, so here's the thing. I think it's like, oh, this team with the worst record got the sixth pick, right? So now they're going to be forced to sign free agents and become mediocre, right? That's like the insinuation of like what should happen, right? But instead, teams are like, oh no, we're just going to keep going backwards and be even worse, and then hopefully we get better luck next year, and then you just stay terrible forever, basically, until you hit on a superstar.
Yeah, I want to say that it said that the team with the best odds hadn't won the first pick in like 15 years.
Well, yeah, because like even the team with the best odds, like that's, they don't have, like they have the top odds at number one, but number one isn't their like top odds. You know what I mean? Like you're way more likely to pick somewhere else than one, even if you have the top odds for one, if that makes sense. Like, you know.
It's one of those things that like kind of helped reinforce my anxiety about the draft lottery coming up. I was like, man, they're just trying to get me.
Well, and the White Sox have better odds because of the team. So like really quick, right? Like Colorado will pick 9th. Colorado will pick 10th. Washington will pick 11th. And the Angels will pick 12th. So the White Sox have the top odds at number one at like almost 28%. Minnesota is second at like 22%, and Pittsburgh is third at 17%, and then everybody else is like 10 or below. So I don't know. Like it's kind of like if you break this down, like I feel like, well, the charts are wrong on here, on Tankathon, because they don't account for like when you have three teams that are basically out of it. But you can break it down and look at like their odds for each pick essentially. But I think the thing that people don't necessarily understand is like if you've ever watched lotteries, right? They put all these combinations in, right, and they draw for number one, and then that team gets number one, and then they draw for number two. And then they draw for number three, right? It's not just like some code that gives you the 1 through 18. Like it doesn't work that way. And then once you get to pick 7, it just goes by record.
Yeah, I think they should just use a RNG, like draw, you know, a random number generator, and just do it that way instead of these stupid balls. Keep those things out of here. Anyway, you got anything for you good?
Yeah, all good.
All right, I'm going to walk us out here. You have been watching/listening to the Future Sox podcast, part of the Just Baseball Media Network. If you are listening to this in podcast form, know that you can find us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on YouTube and the Purple app. You can also find this podcast along with all of our written content at futuresox.net. If you are looking for White Sox prospect highlights, you can find them on X at Future Sox and now also here on our YouTube channel. If you love the content and want to support us here at Future Sox, there is a link to our Patreon in our channel description and at futuresox.net. You can also toss up a super chat on our YouTube stream. Also, don't forget to like this stream and subscribe with notifications so you know when we're going live while helping us out in the World Wide Web algorithms. My name is Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. He is James Fox at JamesFox917. We appreciate all of you. Thank you so much for coming to hang out in the chat and watching and listening. We appreciate all you guys. You guys are the best. We will talk to you guys next week. You have a good one.